I would ask you this morning, where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell, which will it be? Where will you spend eternity? Those are the words of a course that I learned many, many years ago. And trust that you think about those things this morning. We're going to talk about hell today. Not exactly the place that you'd want to be. And will you look with me this morning in Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we come down to a verse that says this. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You know, people use the word hell often, but they use it as a cuss word. They have no understanding or no belief that there is such a terrible place as hell. And maybe you are one of those people that just casually uses the word hell. Well, today I want to talk about hell, and I want to preach people out of hell. And I want to preach the hell out of people. Amen? Amen? I want people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I recognize today that most of you would say, I already know Jesus. And you've heard me say numerous times, I want to make sure that you are really ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many of you said, well, when I was a kid, I asked Jesus in my heart, so that must be good enough. No, that's not good enough. We learn from Colossians chapter 1 that if there is not an ongoing living for Jesus, you can't claim that you're saved. It's not a decision that makes you a Christian. It's a life that you live. It's a principle of living that must be a part of your daily life. It has to be that which affects your thinking and affects your lifestyle. And so we're going to talk today a little bit about hell. It says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, why did this rich man go to hell? Let's go back a little bit in our story here. It begins in verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Was that why he went to hell? No. No. That was not why he went to hell. And the fact that he was rich doesn't mean he had to go to hell. And the fact that the beggar, who is talked about in the next verse, was poor doesn't mean he got to go to heaven. You see, our station in life has nothing to do with where we're going to end up. But it may influence the fact that we reject God's offer to us. And we know that Jesus says in another passage that it is harder for a rich man to enter heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And we're not going to argue whether the eye of the needle was that very little gate in the wall of Jerusalem, or whether the eye of the needle was actually a needle that has that little hole where you put the thread. The point is, Jesus says that rich people have a hard time putting their faith and trust in God for salvation because they think they've got it all. And there's another story in Scripture about another rich man who had such an abundance of crops that he said he had to tear down his little barns and build bigger barns. And then when he had done that and he'd got everything stashed away, he said, now I can sit back and take my life easy. And that night the Lord said, your soul's required of you, you fool. So richness can keep people from trusting Christ as Savior. On the other hand, so can poverty. So can poverty. But in this particular story that Jesus tells, he says this. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, we do not believe that this is a parable. Because when Jesus told parables, which are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. If you want to know what a parable is, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. When Jesus told parables, he did not give specific names. In this case, it does not say, now hear a parable. It says, there was a certain rich man. So Jesus had somebody in mind. And then he told us the name of the beggar who sat outside the rich man's kitchen door, waiting for some food crumbs to be thrown out the door to the dogs. And he would try to grab them probably before the dogs could get to them. And we know the dogs were there because they licked his wounds, it says. But it says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, at the gate of the rich man, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We're going to learn some things about hell today. I want you to take notes if you can. The Bible says that hell is a place of punishment for angels, for people, for nations, as well as Satan. Keep your finger here in Luke chapter 16. We're going to go back into the Old Testament because I want you to see that the concept of hell or Hades is not just a New Testament concept. It's literally an Old Testament concept. In fact, the word Sheol, which comes from the Hebrew, is used of the grave way back in Genesis 37. But we're going to look at Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, first of all. Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And then I'm going to flip to the back of my Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And there I read these words. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He says in verse 9, God did not spare some angels. Now, you may wonder who those angels are. Are they the angels that fell with Satan? No, they are not, because those are not chained. So what angels would possibly be chained in Tartarus? This word is different than the other words that are translated hell in your Bible. This Greek word is the word Tartarus, and it means the place of incineration, the place of eternal flame. That's what the word Tartarus means. And so we learn from that that hell is a place of eternal flame. Well, who are these angels? I believe that they are the ones who sinned prior to Noah's flood, who left their first estate, it says over in the book of Jude, and cohabited with women, it says in Genesis chapter 6. And took upon them the form of men and became manlike that they might partake of human pleasure and thus create that ungodly race that God had to destroy with Noah's flood. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. What I'm doing is proving to you from Scripture my statement that hell is a place where God will punish angels, people, nations, and Satan and his demons. And so from Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, I read, "Then he will say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice this about hell in the Bible. In the King James Version of the Bible, and different translations would have a different number here, I'm sure, that the word hell is found 54 times in the King James Bible. I didn't look it up in the other translations. In one form or another. And it's used in 17 different books of the 66 books of your Bible. So obviously it's an important subject to think about, and it's one that we need to take incredibly serious. Now let's do a little bit of dictionary work this morning, if we might, and find out what hell really is. First of all, hell is the English translation of the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament, and Hades in the New Testament. It is the place of the dead. In other words, the grave or the pit. Oftentimes, it is used in reference merely with the cemetery. So in some places, when you read the word hell, it's only talking about the cemetery. It's about the grave. It's about people being dead and being put in the ground. But in other places, it has much more description, as it does here in this particular passage in Luke that we are looking at this morning in Luke chapter 16, in verse 23. Obviously there, we are talking about something more than just a grave, something more than just a cemetery. In the Old Testament, and I put some references up there, and I don't have time to look at them this morning, but you can look at them in Psalm 55, verse 15, Ezekiel 31, verse 16 and 17. Sometimes the word hell in your New Testament is for the word Gehenna. Now, Gehenna was the name of the city dump outside the wall of Jerusalem. It was where they dumped the refuse over the bank into the Valley of Hinnom. It's on the south side of the city of Jerusalem. It's kind of a deep, steep place. And so they would dump their refuse there. There was always fires burning. There were always worms. There were always rats. It was always a gross place. Any of you that have ever visited the city dump back in the days before landfills? When I was a kid growing up, the city dump was on the north side of town. And at the place that I had to work, it was common for me once a week to make a run with the garbage from the gas station and the trash up to the dump and to dump everything out of the back of the boss's pickup truck into a pile where there was something burning so that it would be consumed. All the old oily rags and dirt and all that garbage. Back in those days, they didn't worry about pollution. And so there was always fires burning at the city dump, just like in the days of Jesus. And so he uses that word, Gehenna, taken from the Valley of Hinnom, to give us an idea that hell is a place of eternal flame and fire. Now, he gives us scripture for that. And so let's flip back a page or two to Luke chapter 12. And verse 5, Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Who is Jesus talking about? Himself. God. Who can take your life? God. Who can send you to hell? God. And so this morning I want you to know that this is serious business when we talk about hell. Hell is a place. It's not a cuss word. It's a place. It's a terrible place of punishment. Look over at Mark and the description that he uses in Mark chapter 9, verses 45 and 47. 45 and 47. In 47 or 45, it says, "If your foot makes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." Verse 46, "Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye makes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, fire, into Gehenna." There's that one other word, and that's the word that was used over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And that is the word tataras. Tataras, which means to incinerate in eternal flame. And that's where those angels are chained, waiting for the day of judgment. So then that brings you to an important question, doesn't it? Where is it? Where is hell? We talked about what is hell. Now let's think for just a little moment about where is hell. Well, there are lots of scriptures that use the phrase down. Down. Some of the verses that we've already read this morning refer to down. Well, down means down from the surface of the earth. So it's logical to think that hell is in the center of the earth. We already know what's in the center of our earth, don't we? We know that it's a hot place. Yesterday, some of that which is under the surface of the earth came to the surface of the earth. Where? Just south of Mexico City, Mexico, when the mountain blew its top again and the volcano began to spew flame and fire and ash and molten lava began to spill out of the rim of that once again active volcano. Some of you perhaps have visited Hawaii. I never have, but I have certainly seen enough pictures and watch things on Nova and other things to know that there are places in Hawaii that are constantly bubbling with molten rock coming up out of the earth. A place that is so hot that it can melt stone. I can't comprehend that kind of heat, can you? But we see the evidence of it. We see the evidence of it. Some of you perhaps have visited one of the national parks out west and visited Yellowstone and visited the geyser called Old Faithful. What makes this heat and steam and hot water suddenly explode out of the earth every so often? And all of those pools that are just bubbling with boiling water all the time. It's the heat from down in the center of the earth that's escaping to the surface. Now, with that in mind, we ask the question, where is hell? And the Bible says it's down. Down means down from the surface of the earth towards the inside of the earth. Now, we learned something else about hell. We learned that hell has 2 compartments. If you didn't know about that, think about that. Hell has 2 compartments. Now, how do we know that? Well, we learned that from the story that Jesus tells in this place. Let's go back to our text this morning, to Luke chapter 16, and beginning there at verse 19. Luke 16, and beginning at verse 19, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and he said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside this, there is between us and you a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those from there pass to us. I want you to know that Hades, or Sheol, has two parts. Hades, or Sheol, has two parts. Now, one part is called Abraham's bosom in this story. When Jesus died on the cross, he said to the thief that repented and looked to him and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, that Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in... We'll try that one more time. This day you will be with me in paradise. And then the Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I am not sure. But such a man was caught up in the third heaven, even into paradise. Now Jesus said that he was going to take the thief on the cross with him to paradise when he died. Where did Jesus go when he died? He went to Hades. He didn't go to heaven. He went to Hades. He went to Abraham's bosom, also called paradise. So I know then that Hades and Sheol had two compartments. One was the good compartment, one was the bad compartment. One was the place called torments, one is the place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Now you may say to me, well, what happened? When Jesus rose from the dead, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 says that he led captivity captive. And I believe that's when he moved paradise up to heaven. So that when the Apostle Paul was stoned to death at Lystra, or some other time, because of all the things we read happened to Paul, at some time or other, Paul died before God resuscitated him. He got to go up to heaven, to paradise. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 is what explains how paradise went from down here, where Jesus and the beggar on the cross went to, up to heaven, where Paul ended up when he went to paradise. It moved. Jesus led captivity captive. And that's quoted from a prophecy in the Old Testament. But we don't have time to pursue that. As I looked at the clock this morning, I have several things I want to tell you about who is in hell and what hell is like. Let's look at this passage. First of all, hell is a place of punishment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Secondly, hell is a place of torment. Luke 16, verse 23. Hell is a place of fire and heat. Matthew 13, verse 42 to 50. And Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. We learn from Mark chapter 9, verse 44 to 48, that hell is a place of worms. We learn from Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it's a place of recognition. We learn from verse 25 in Luke 16 that it's a place of memory. We learn also from Luke's story there that it's a place of denied prayer. He said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that you would send Lazarus back to the earth to tell my brothers not to come here. And you remember the answer. He says, Moses, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What is Moses and the prophets? It's the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So what Abraham is saying to the rich man in hell in the hot side, he said, your brothers have the Bible. And if they reject the Bible, even though I sent someone back from here to tell them otherwise, they still won't believe. And folks, let me tell you, that is true today as well. If somebody comes back from the dead, People just say, I don't believe it. And there are books out there by the dozens now, all the way from the little boy who died and went to heaven to the man who I looked at his YouTube video the other day talking about he went to the gate of hell when he died. And God gave him a chance to reject it and say, cried out and said, Lord, I don't want to go here. I want to go to heaven with you. And God let him go to heaven before he returned back to his body on the operating table. And that story is repeated over and over and over again. How many people get converted with those stories? I don't know. Not very many, I'm afraid. Even though those books proliferate all over the bookstores and the bookshelves and all over the YouTube, you can listen to their testimonies. And people still don't believe. And people still don't repent. And people still don't return from their path, the broad road that leads to hell. And so it's a place of denied prayer. It's a place of unfulfilled desire. Look at verse 24. He cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He desired water. Then he desired that his brothers be given another opportunity. And finally, we learn from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13 and 14 that hell will be cast into the lake of fire, which is merely, from what I can tell, an enlarged version. Because it says over in Revelation 13 and 14 that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is just bigger and hotter and contains everyone who has not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior since the day of Adam and Eve. What's my conclusion this morning? Hell is a place to be avoided at all cost. But there is only one payment that will keep you out of hell. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift that you must receive. Jesus said in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons or the children of God. The sacrificial death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, was for you. But you have to believe it, you have to receive it, and then you have to live in the power and the light of it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I want you to make sure this morning. I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have put your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are obeying Him daily, that you are living for Him daily, that you are walking in the light of His Word daily, as we read in the opening scripture this morning. I beg of you every Sunday, but I especially beg of you this morning, I can't paint a strong enough picture of hell for you. But I sure don't want you to experience it. I want every one of you to know and be ready for heaven. Eternal God, great Father, minister to our hearts today. And Father, I pray that you will use your word and your message to challenge us, to witness to our neighbors and our friends and our family, and beg of them to trust you as Lord and Savior of their life before it's eternally too late, and they end up in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Lord God, I pray that you will help us to be witnesses of your grace and goodness and mercy to us. And I will thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.